Over the last few months, we have been looking at this New Testament book, the Gospel of John. And last week, we started looking at chapter 13. And the beginning of chapter 13 is an important point in the Gospel, because in chapters 1 to 12, the disciples have been learning loads of stuff about Jesus, but generally when members of the public are around, they've been going places, they've been doing things, and they've been learning on the job. But as we move into chapter 13, there's a whole section of the rest of the book, chapters 13 to 20, where Jesus is giving a lot of really intensive teaching just to those 12 disciples. This is what you might call discipleship training. And last week, in the beginning of chapter 13, in verses 1 to 17, Jesus started by giving a very practical demonstration about discipleship. There they were, about to celebrate or celebrating this great Jewish festival, and something terrible has happened. There are no slaves or servants around to wash everyone's feet. And Jesus does the most unthinkable thing. People thought of him as a Jewish rabbi. And the rabbi got up and washed the disciples' feet. And we looked at that last week. So if you want to listen to the recording on that, that's on the website. But moving on, having washed his disciples' feet, that was so unheard of, Jesus, in verse 12, that is John chapter 13, verse 12, he concludes by saying, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher or rabbi and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." And he says, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." And he says, "Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, and nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And we continue the chapter, the teaching, the narrative of John chapter 13 today. And Jesus is going to be talking about love and about betrayal and about denial. And we have to ask ourselves, what kind of people do we want to be? What kind of families? What kind of church? How do we want to be characterized? By love or by betrayal? By love or by denial? So we're going to read on. But let me advise you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give us some of your thoughts a bit later on. And there's also going to be an opportunity to pray at the end. So, I'm not going to say be warned, I'm going to say be invited. Okay? So we'll get you involved in a minute. John chapter 13, starting at verse 18. Jesus continues, having washed his disciples' feet, and he now says, "I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am." Am. And of course, that's that great reference to God's name in the Old Testament. I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. So, leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. And then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. But no one at the meal, no one understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. And then he says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. Our theme this morning, loving or betraying, loving or denying. The word love is very important in this Gospel of John. I counted up, and if I counted correctly, 56 times in the Gospel of John we find the word love or a derivative of love, such as loving or loved or loves. 56 times the word love in the Gospel of John. But what's interesting, our passage today does not start with the word love. The beginning theme is that of betrayal. So I want to ask us a very heartfelt question. Have we ever been to a church function, a meal, perhaps, at someone's home or in a community place? Have we ever shared the bread and the wine like we've done today? And Have we eaten together with our brothers and sisters and then gossiped about them someplace else? Have we eaten together with our brothers and sisters and then judged them? Have we eaten together with our brothers and sisters and then betrayed them or denied them in our heart? Have we even at times betrayed them and denied them with our words? You see, betraying our brothers and sisters is bad. It's bad enough. But to betray someone you have been eating with, doesn't that just make it even worse? Look at what Jesus says in verse 18. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. And then in verse 21, very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. Someone who has shared bread with Jesus, who has eaten with him, who has had fellowship with him, someone is going to betray Jesus. And as you know, Gabby and I, we have links with Romania. And in the communist time in Romania, right up until not that long ago, 1989, when you went to church, and when you were part of church, you had to be so careful. Because you never knew who of your brothers and sisters was not really a brother and a sister at all, and who was going to betray you to the communists, to the Securitate. That was up until 1989 in Romania. But what about today? Do we betray our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we pretend to be friends? Are we two-faced, speaking and behaving in one way when we're at a meeting like this, and then destroying each other by our gossip later? If we betray our brothers and sisters, who are the body of Christ, we are, in fact, betraying Jesus. Verse 19, Jesus says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Now the reality is, my friends, we cannot separate God into compartments. We talk about God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but we cannot separate them into compartments, because we're told here, if we accept Jesus, we accept the Father. And this is one of the great themes of this book, this Gospel of John, the unity between God the Father, the Son, the Spirit. So many, many times Jesus is saying, I'm not acting on my own behalf. I do the will of the Father who sent me. The Father and the Son are in perfect unity, and God lives in us. And so we must be praying for unity. It's one of the things that God does. It's one of the characteristics of God to be unity. So we need to be praying for unity within our church, unity within the body of Christ. And where there is disunity, where the body of Christ is betrayed, it brings suffering within the church. And I believe it brings sadness to our loving God. Look at verse 21. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. God does not look on with pleasure when we are betraying each other. And some of us might maybe finding this message uncomfortable. Who would possibly betray another person within our church? Who would possibly deny another person within our church? Who would possibly gossip about another person in our church? And just like us today saying, really? Does that ever happen in our church? But look in the scripture. They said one to another, surely not. Surely not. Not in this lovely group of 12 that we are. His disciples, verse 22, they stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. They were saying, it can't be. Surely not. Who can it be? And one says to the other, go on, ask him, who's he talking about? One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, he was reclining next to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, go on, ask him which one he means. Verse 25, leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I've dipped it in the dish. See how intimate that place was. Even before he goes out to betray him, he's sharing food with him. And then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, verse 30, he went out and it was night. Now in our passage we're looking at loving or betraying and also loving or denying. And we move on. Judas was preparing to betray Jesus and others were going to deny him. The other disciples were going to deny being Jesus' friend. They were going to deny loving him. They were going to deny even knowing him. But in this passage, before Jesus predicts that Jesus will deny him that three times, Jesus issues a command, a new command. And this is very interesting because we've got three notions in this passage. We've got betrayal, we've got denial, and we've got love. And in the midst of Jesus predicting that betrayal's about to happen and denial's about to happen, Jesus in this context issues the command to love. I think we just need to pause for a moment and think, what a thing, yeah? In the context of denial, in the context of betrayal, Jesus is saying, love each other. When Judas was gone, that's verse 31, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. Sometimes we might say, do you know what? This life is so complicated. This life is so difficult. The trials, the tribulations of life. I just want to go and be with Jesus. And you can understand why people say that. But they, back in the day, they could not go to be with Jesus in glory straight away. And neither can we. They and we are called to stay behind here on earth. Because we have a role to perform. We have a job to do. We have a calling to live up to. We have a command to obey. And we get to the command now in verse 34. the high point of this whole passage, really. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And there is so much teaching and so much challenge just in those two verses, 34 and 35. A new command, says Jesus. How many of us feel that we want something new in our experience with Jesus? How many of us want something new in our church, in our life, in our witness? How many of us feel that we're getting a bit stale? Jesus is offering us something new. Yes, it is a command, but look at the words. A new command I give you. He's given us this command. Do we see it as a burden or do we see it as a gift? Because he actually says, a new command, it's about love, I give you. Maybe we need to see it as a command, but maybe we need to see it as a gift also. Love one another. Now, that's not always easy, is it? It really isn't. But it's a command and it's a gift. Love one another. Then he says, as I have loved you. So we need to ask ourselves, how has our Jesus loved us? Last week in the passage, it's in chapter 13 in the beginning. Having loved them, he loved them to the end. We've got to ask ourselves, how has our Jesus loved us? Then look at the next word. So you must. That's an interesting word there, yeah, must. We perhaps think of loving as an optional extra, but no. So you must love one another. So you must love one another. How can we love one another? How can we demonstrate love for each other? And then something very strange is stated. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And we have to ask the question, do we want everyone to know that we are Jesus' disciples? Because actually, Simon Peter, not long after this, made it very clear that he didn't want anyone to know that he was the disciple of Jesus. Yes? Three times he denied Jesus. And yet there's such power in these words. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And in the context of this command, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot come, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. And so we see that in the context of betrayal and denial, Jesus issued a command, a new command, this wonderful command. A new command, says Jesus, I give you, love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.